Skyport Media is proud to present.
Cappy 7.4, Roger. Center maintain 2-0.
Number 565.
I'm at 504. Number
2-0, take off right here, sir. If you want to call me, get you on the phone.
On today's episode of Afterburn, Hammy is very angry, Atari buys merit blades, and I explore the glistening safety record of ValueJet Airlines. Hello and welcome to Afterburn, the only show that has a birth certificate. I'm Drake. I'm joined by Atari, the urban explorer, Hammy, who is his own box, and our special guest, Goose, who bravely flies Robinson helicopters.
You fly a Robinson?
Absolutely.
I fly this little thing that's not a death trap called the Schweitzer 300.
And there's nothing wrong with a Robinson as long as you actually know how to fly a helicopter. What's a Schweitzer 300? I've never heard of such a thing. I've heard of
a Hughes 269.
The point of the matter is, I prefer to fly a plane, helicopter, any kind of aerial vehicle that's designed to stay together.
So that's not a helicopter at all then, because they just catch on fire and fall in the sky. So let's start out with some news. Oh, Hammy, you'll enjoy this one. Your favorite person has released his birth certificate, finally. It seems that the Obama administration today, instead of actually releasing some important names, such as the new director of the CIA, etc., took it upon themselves to release the copy of Barack Obama's birth certificate that Donald Trump has been demanding for so many weeks or months or however long.
So we've decided to stop wasting time on this epically dumb nonsense and just move on.
I think at some point...
.org.
I think it was something not as simple as, hey, we want to see your birth certificate, as it is, how come you can't give us something as simple as your birth certificate?
A lot of people can't produce a birth certificate.
If they asked me, like, right now, produce your birth certificate, like, right this minute, I couldn't do it. It would take me at least a couple of days to go find out where the hell it is.
Are you the President of the United States?
No.
Do you have an army of people working for you with your paperwork and everything else like that?
Why does...
It's not an army of people working for Barack Obama with paperwork. It's an army of people... I shouldn't even say it's an army of people. It's a handful of bureaucrats on an island 6,000 miles away from Washington, D.C. that are...
When I was enlisting in the Marine Corps, I couldn't find my birth certificate. I called, or my dad actually called Texas. 2 days later, my birth certificate was in the mail. FedEx.
Yeah, but don't mess with Texas. This is Hawaii we're talking about. We're
also talking about they're doing it for the President of the United States, and it's been demanded now for a couple of years. You don't think that he could have produced it beforehand?
It also might not have been a big priority either, until it became a media shitstorm.
I only think it became a media shitstorm because there was something as simple as a damn birth certificate that he couldn't produce. What else is he hiding?
Well, a birth certificate... Well, first off, to be fair, a birth certificate should not be considered a valid form of identification in any event, because it's just a birth certificate.
Yeah.
It's sort of like how people love to use the Social Security number as like some kind of form of identification, and it's not. It's your Social Security number.
It's just a
serial. It has nothing
number.
To do That's with it. IDs. Yeah. But we're like, oh, well, we need that for IDs.
I mean, anybody can get a birth certificate. You just walk into the Department of Health and say, here, this child is alive, right? And they say, yes. Certify that, please. Okay. There you go.
If it's that simple, how come he couldn't get one? How come it took him 2 years?
He did. He found one. He had his certificate of live birth.
That one stated that his name was Barack Obama, that he was an African-American, and that he was born in the country of Honolulu. Never mind the fact that in those times, an African-American was referred to as a Negro, and he was born Barry Obama.
Well, it depends on which state you're looking at, too.
Hawaii.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what the laws in Hawaii were at the time? Can you?
Yeah, but I doubt they referred to Honolulu as a country.
Okay, fine.
Typo. Then how come it wasn't referred to as Barry Obama, which was what his name was when he was born, before it converted to Islam?
Probably because he was named Barack Obama as a child.
Wait,
and then changed it to Barry when he became a senator.
We're not going to get into the debate on whether or not he is or is not a Muslim, are we? Because that's
no.
He says he's a Christian.
Yes.
But he's a politician, so therefore I don't believe him.
What he said, this is, I'm paraphrasing, but this is basically what he said. My father was a Muslim, my mom was a non-practicing Muslim, I grew up in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, I became a Christian at this age, so you can see why my entire religion was based on Judaism.
So what? He basically hates himself.
Yeah, but I'm listening to that, and it's like saying, yeah, my father was a baker, my mom was a trucker, I grew up in a pilot town, and that's why I'm a stripper. You know? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's why I would be a stripper.
Yeah, me too.
Well, no, my point, though, is that I don't think he's, like, all there Christian. I don't think he's all there anything else, though. I think he's just sort of, like, whatever's politically expedient, that's what he'll say he is. So if it's something...
Which makes him popular, a what? Oh, yeah, a liar.
No,
that makes him a politician.
A liar.
Anyway.
Well, all politicians are liars, so...
But, yeah. Well, speaking of politicians and lying and all kinds of terrible things... Okay, so it seems that Dutch police have bought... aggregate GPS data from TomTom, the GPS manufacturer, and they've used that to set up speed traps in the Netherlands.
I think this is kind of actually terrible. Not necessarily for the Dutch, because the Dutch can do whatever they want to do, and the other Europeans can do whatever the hell they want to do. But I hate it because that means that the U.S. government is starting to... The U.S. government is going to start to get ideas.
Oh, no, 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 no. No one would ever buy that data and use it to keep track of people. No, why would they do that?
Because they're the government. They like to do that kind of thing.
That would be unethical. What's wrong?
What ethics in our... No, there's no. The whole point, though, is that this kind of thing, everyone was talking about this about, you know, 5-10 years ago when we started to get GPSs that would actually report things back, you know, radio signals, especially when OnStar started to become very popular with GM vehicles. And you have
OnStar, how can I molest you?
Yeah, really. you can track things anywhere they go. And to an extent, that's like, okay, well, companies are tracking things. That's kind of a cool service. But then the government comes in and says, well, we'd like access to that data, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's okay to let Facebook have all this data access. And, you know, you can check into Facebook and say, oh, I'm at, you know, Jim's Pawn Shop or whatever, you know, buying dildos. But...
You buy dildos?
Shut up!
That's a great thing there, Atari.
I am speechless.
Do you have some back there that I could borrow? I forgot to bring mine.
Yeah, never mind.
So are you gonna share? Or?
Well, I did buy it from a pawn shop, apparently.
Oh.
So they smell like Axe, and they're in
their black bag with the GameCube. While they're just chilling.
That's Natty Ice.
Hey, bro.
But see, I just think that the government is far too up in our ass right now as it is, and I don't always want to be found by anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't have an iPhone. I refuse to get an iPhone or anything like that.
That's why I usually keep my GPS services turned off in any kind of system that I have, because I'm like, well, it's great that people can find where I am, but I don't really want them to know where I am.
Yeah,
where I am is my business.
This kind of goes right back to this whole story about police departments being able to use cellular signals. You know, way back in the early 2000s, people were worried that, oh, people are going to start being able to track you through cell signals across cell towers and be able to tell how fast you're going because of how fast you're jumping a tower. And so it's more of the same thing. And, it's, you know, somewhere people have got to draw the line.
Well, there's a much more controversial issue back in my county a while back where, and this was actually pretty recently and it's still sort of an issue, is the police started mounting these cameras on the back of the trunks of their cars, and they just drive around all over the place and they take pictures of everyone's license plates. And what they're supposed to be doing is they're looking for people with warrants, which is fine. The thing, though, is that it cross-references and saves all the data of where that car was and where it saw your license plate. Mm-hmm. And the annoying thing about that is that, theoretically, let's say you happen to be driving through a bad neighborhood for whatever reason. Maybe you have a friend that lives
there.
Lost. Or you got lost. Or you're just, you know, sometimes on ways to work, you know, there's a better road that goes through an area. Well, they'll suddenly go, you've been in this high drug traffic area. Why were you there?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I got lost.
There's no other, you weren't even there.
I was trying to get the little 5 points. I had to go through the fourth ward to get there.
Yeah, it's like, my work is surrounded by nonsense. Why do I have to explain myself to you people? But now you do because
you do
take a picture.
It's guilty until proven innocent. Now the burden of proof is on you.
And this kind of thing, it's like, you really want to have some kind of faith that our government is looking out for us, but it's just so obvious that they're not.
Okay, so anyway, moving on.
Right, moving on. We have AirTran. Now, AirTran, you may remember a company, if you were awake in the 90s, called ValueJet. Yes. ValueJet was one of those companies that was famous for having an excellent safety record. No, wait, I don't mean that, do I? No, I mean, they were famous for having a horrible safety record. In fact, it was so horrible, I remember it was like in 1994 or something, they had 14 emergency landings.
The only airline where you can go gator hunting.
Yeah.
In flight. Wow.
But anyway, so like in 94, they had like 14 emergency landings, and that annoyed the FAA. And then the next year, they had 57 emergency landings. That really annoyed the FAA. The year after that, 1996, in the first 5 months of the year alone, they had 57 more emergency landings, and the FAA was so annoyed they were looking at pulling their licenses, and then they crashed into the middle of the Everglades.
Pancaked a, was it EC-9?
Yeah, it was EC-9. And then that was really the end of anything that you ever heard about ValuJet.
Is that air tanks that they had back there?
The oxygen tanks.
Oxygen tanks.
Yeah, they had some oxygen tanks and some nonsense. And then in 97, they renamed the company and then made ValuJet disappear.
Yes.
Yeah, because I do remember ValuJet. I just kind of forgot about
it. I love the ValuJet logo because it's this goofy little cartoon airplane, and he's got, like, wings, you know, for arms or whatever.
I remember
and,
that.
Yeah, and if you look at him, he's kind of got this expression like, I give up!
Well, the great thing about...
It's best I can do!
The great thing about the ValuJet logo was, in 96, when all that stuff happened, there was something else going on. I remember what it was the Olympics.
Mm.
And so you had the... On TV, you had the war of the pathetic mascots.
Yes.
You had the pathetic ValuJet mascot that was looking over the wreckage in the swamp with all the people running around in fishing gators.
And the even more pathetic Atlanta Olympics mascot.
Whose name was, what is it?
Yes. The most brilliant name for a mascot ever. Oh, what is it?
Exactly. What is it? So anyway, and that they turned into AirTran. And since then, AirTran is actually kind of a cool company because they're still not very good at being an airline.
Yeah, but yeah, they're a really cool company unless you actually patronize them.
Yeah, but they must be doing something vaguely right or something horribly wrong because they went from having the oldest, most horrible planes in the world to having the newest planes in the world.
So they either had a whole lot of cash or they now have a whole lot of debt.
Yes, but well, it doesn't matter because they're being bought by Southwest apparently. But
yes. Oh, thank God! Now Southwest flies to now Southwest will fly to Atlanta.
And now they're putting their planes out on aviation campuses.
They're very, very old ones that sit in the sun and get faded over the years.
That one actually is a DC-9.
Yeah, it is.
It's not an MD-95. It's a DC-9.
And it's in rare shape for an AirTran DC-9. Because it's intact.
Yes. It's not in pieces and on fire.
So AirTran is a great airline unless you're actually flying on it. Because I gotta say, I flew AirTran not long ago, flying Atlanta to LAX. And subsequently back again. And that was, well, let me just say, I felt like a person of a specific ethnicity on a specific type of rail car that was used in Germany in the 40s.
Wow.
Nice.
Thanks for that. But honestly, I've had an all right experience with AirTran. It's not been too bad for me when I've flown on them. Although I flew on the ancient jets from the 60s, and the seats aren't too bad, but it is very bare bones. It's like there's not much entertainment on the flight. There's like one TV.
They have the satellite radio now.
Yeah, you get like a bag of peanuts and a drink.
Yeah,
and that's about it.
That's better than what they do at ASA now.
What do they do at ASA now?
Nothing.
Oh my gosh!
You just get on and then like you're there.
Well, ASA only flies like, you know, 1 hour flights places, so. I mean, when you're.
I was on an ASA flight, I got an energy bar one time.
What?
Energy bar?
I got an energy bar. The lady's like, no
she
beverages.
She was backing on you.
It was some old lady. She's like, no beverages will be served on this flight, but however, you'll have a complimentary whatever bar. They called it something different. And she just came by and was just handing them to people. Some people were rejecting them. And I got handed mine and opening them up and ate it, and I'm like, this is just like an energy bar.
Like, it's wow. An energy bar that tastes like an energy bar. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. Hey, this Red Bull tastes like a Red Bull. It's amazing.
I have expected it to be tasting like cardboard.
But that's what energy bars taste like.
No, I was going to say that you guys have Jaeger because I have Red Bull on my backpack.
You know what cardboard tastes like?
I don't think we have
like an energy bar?
No, it tastes like glue and paper.
So the thing about AirTran, you flew on a nice AirTran airplane, i.e. an old one.
No, it wasn't a nice airplane at all, but it was nicer than Delta because the seats were wider.
Yeah, but you see, when I flew on AirTran, it was a small seat, even for me. And it's like, I mean, I drive a Miata, and a Miata's nice and roomy for me, and this was a small seat by my standards. So you can imagine exactly how small this airline seat was. And granted, I had no leg room, and again, I am not a very big guy, so...
I don't know if I'd be saying that out loud.
What do you mean? I don't care. I'm a little guy, but I'll kick anybody's ass.
I know he's little. They know he's big, and they know that I'm ugly.
Yeah,
he's got a he's got a pet Jackie Chan in his pants.
Yeah, size doesn't matter.
I'm like Jet Li. I'm a size 3, but you know I'll break you.
3.5 feet.
If size doesn't matter, why don't they sell 3-inch dildos? Never mind that. Okay. You're saying you're a little guy.
They do apparently at Joe's Pawn Shop.
So you're a little guy. The seats are too small.
Yeah, the seats are just. I mean, AirTran. They're a bare bones airline, but they're obviously doing something right, and so that's kind of interesting.
Moving on to our next story.
Burma. Why did you just say Burma? I panicked.
Okay. Moving on to our next story. Is the Space Shuttle Endeavour is set to launch on its final flight April 29th. That
Which
is said
in like 20 minutes.
Well, it's not launching in 20
minutes. No, it's not launching in 20 minutes.
Midnight, April 29th. No. Yeah. Which is sad to me because, as mentioned on one of our last shows, the Obama administration has pretty much killed manned space flight. But guess who is going to be there for the Space Shuttle Endeavour's launch?
Prince William?
President Obama.
Barry Obama, our Irish friend from Ballykeneely.
He's from Chicago, where all the other Irishmen are from.
Chicago! Bang, bang!
I thought he was from the country of Honolulu.
Oh, that too.
No, but, yeah, that's what really angers me is, here's the man that killed man, or...
I am going to bring jobs to Florida by eliminating jobs in Florida.
Yeah, you know, let's just kill one of the largest organizations out there. And you can put all these people out of the job, but hey, we'll create a census jobs, but we're getting off topic. The point is his administration...
It's my hope that this changes very soon. Ask not what your country can do for me. Somebody jump in here at any time.
I was enjoying this. I just wanted to see where you were going with this.
Barry F. Kennedy there?
Barry Hussein Kennedy.
I propose change in America.
So what really angers me is President Obama's administration has defunded NASA almost entirely. And now the man responsible for stopping the shuttle launch is going to be there for the Space Shuttle Endeavour's last launch. Who the hell does he think he is?
He's President Barack Obama, obviously. He
yeah,
likes
but
to look something in the face when he kills it, apparently.
That's it. He's just rubbing salt in it over
the man.
I am here to honor you astronauts, even though I've effectively fired you.
That just
angers me. That's salt in an open wound.
Yeah. Even amongst the more democratically inclined Air Force people and other pilots that end up being astronauts, I think even they probably are annoyed with Barack Obama for basically saying, well, we're not going to put much more into space travel because, I mean, when you're a pilot in the Air Force and you want to be an astronaut, it's like, that's your dream since you were a little kid.
Absolutely.
It's like, I want to go be an astronaut. I've gotten in the Air Force. I'm doing Air Force stuff. I'm going to be an astronaut. And then finally you get accepted by NASA, and they're like, we're going to put you on track to be an astronaut. And then the president
and
comes
they
along
shut
and says,
the
shit, I mean, that's still my dream is to be an astronaut, and I'm, like, over 30.
You know, apparently helicopter pilots make better astronauts because they're better
I
at landing.
I did that
landing.
Lunar experiment.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, you went to the, you went down there? Wasn't that chick really cute?
Oh, hell yes.
I want to hook her up with my ex.
Go for
but
it.
But I don't know if she's gay
I think that
or
would
not.
Work.
Did she walk you out?
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. Well, the one thing I've never understood about the shuttle, though, and this is sort of off track with all of the other nonsense, but one of the reasons why they were annoyed with the shuttle and one of the reasons they were retiring it was because lately, whenever they launch shuttles, they explode. Bits keep falling off of the shuttle and then breaking the shuttle while it's in orbit. And I'm kind of like, okay, you've spent all this money. Why don't you fix the big red tank so that bits don't fall off of it and break the shuttle?
I've got a better idea. Let's just make a vehicle that doesn't break.
Okay, now, I'm not against...
Complicated.
I'm not against getting rid of the space shuttle itself because, what is it, 60s, 70s technology developed in the 80s and used all the way into the early 2000s? It's time to get a new platform.
Well, by that logic, we should get rid of the B-1 bomber because it's old.
Yes.
Actually, we should get rid of the B-52 because it's old.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah, the B-1 works better than the B-52.
Well, what has effectively happened in terms of Air Force technology here is that we have kept the B-52 in the Russian Soyuz capsule, and we are scrapping the B-1.
Yeah.
Exactly!
That's exactly what's going on.
Now...
Soyuz Roketa! Star! Vostok!
What?
Vodka!
Chicago! Bang, bang!
Bang, bang!
75 Victor Victor 2.
Я хочу моя дырная ракета.
Выиграл что-то как вообще.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Sedjubilee is like a sunrise.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, I've got some dildos from Joe's pawn shop.
I'm not a bro. Alright, so the point I'm making here is I think that Obama should stay the hell away from the shuttle launch because he was the reason this is the Endeavor's last launch, and he has no business being there, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the guy coming in and shutting the school down, but being there for the school's final party, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of a twofold thing. Yeah, part of it is Barack Obama, his administration's decision to shut down the space program. The other part of that is that Endeavor is old, and it's falling apart, just like the rest of the shuttles.
Well, so, like where you were going with it, yeah, okay, get a new platform, but don't
absolutely.
Shut the whole fucking
don't shut the program down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think what they should do is I remember the early concept drawings that NASA did where they were showing what they wanted.
Yeah, like the Ares thing.
Yeah. And my favorite design for a shuttle from them was just, it was a simple two-part system. And you had the booster section and the shuttle system. And you would launch the whole thing off, and then at a higher altitude, then they were both independent vehicles. And at a higher altitude, you'd launch the shuttle off the back of this thing, and then the booster would come down on regular jet engines and stuff, like an airplane, and then just land.
So basically Spaceship One and Spaceship Two.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's actually...
I wonder where Burt Rutan got the idea.
I wonder where he got that idea.
And with the boosters, I mean, would that be something that's like remote-operated,
No, there was a man. There was a crew for it.
There was a piggyback system.
Yeah, there were two separate crews. And actually, the Russians, a while back, were working along the same lines, where they wanted to take the AN-225 and turn it into a high-altitude launch system. Because it's so big and so heavy that they could launch things off the back of it.
Yeah.
So basically, why, you know, because we're going into like a global world now. So, you know, why does it have to be America versus Russia? Why can't we just all...
Because it's always America versus Russia.
I know
Russia.
It's always America versus
and
Russia.
And we're America, and we
damn
are
it.
The ones
No, I'm
being...
not saying, like the plan is now to basically leave.
I don't
want to
run a space, no.
But to
damn,
create, like, you know, almost like a corporation where it's, you know, the greatest minds from all over the world working together.
Oh, well, we do get the greatest minds from all over the world. Hell, our first astronautical engineers were Nazi scientists.
Yes, they were. I'll say, it's sort of, there's still national pride. And even amongst the United States, you see state pride and stuff. Where, you know, New York loves to sit there and go, oh, well, we're much better than New Jersey. And New Jersey likes to say, oh, well we're much better than...
Those damn Georgians.
And the Georgians like to say, yee-haw! Go Dawgs!
Yeah. Well, Georgia likes to say that they're better than Alabama, and Alabama likes to say they're better than Mississippi. It just all goes
and Mississippi
around.
Likes to say, well, we're better than Cuba.
Yeah. and it just all goes around where everyone likes to have that little bit of ego stroking where it's just sort of like, you know, okay, we're better than you.
I like to have my ego stroking.
Oh, yes. So, So because of that, we still want our stuff to be the stuff. You know, we want our space stuff to be the best space stuff.
When we see a Russian spaceship launch, we want to say, hey, they copied us.
That's right. And then another slight issue, and I think this just harkens back to the Cold War, is that the Russians are still using their Cold War technology. And to be fair, we're still using our Cold War technology. But that was like a big, you know, versus time in the world. And they were the little commie bastards.
Yeah, they were the bad guys.
We were the big bad Americans with nothing better to do. So
you mean the big good Americans?
Have you not been paying attention to what's been happening over the last 30 years? I mean, and a lot of people are going to get pissed at me for this, but from my view, Americans today are a bunch of sissy-ass pussies.
Bunch of whiners.
Well,
I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, every little thing that goes wrong, we freak out about it, and it's like, buck up and fucking deal with it.
I have noticed that the one of the things I really hate about the current state of America is the whole nanny state nonsense, where it's like, well, this obviously isn't my fault, this isn't my problem, it's the government's problem, they need to do something
government
about
needs
it.
To fix it because I'm too incompetent to.
Yeah.
Every American household has Homer Simpson running in.
And even if they don't want the government to fix it, they say, oh, well, it should be this corporation. It's obviously their fault. They have to fix it. Or some, it's everybody else's fault but mine.
I just mean it in general, even on the small levels. Like, you know, I interact with people from all over the place. And, you know, they're afraid of thunderstorms. They're afraid of spiders. They can't parallel park their fucking cars. You know, they're afraid of everything. They're afraid of speeding. They're, you know, they lock their doors because they're afraid someone's going to come in. They're afraid of guns. They're afraid of knives. I'm like, dude, like,
back in the 50s. Gross.
I mean,
no fear cavaliers.
100 years ago, how the hell would you have survived?
Well, they wouldn't have. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and
like
now
people
because
are
I'm
afraid
of all these
everything.
Things, I need the government to fix it for me.
That's right.
Well, it's
because nobody else can.
Oh, yeah.
But I see what you're saying, though, because people have gotten a little bit more, I'm not sure what the right word is, I don't think it's
dependent.
Wrong, but dependent. Another problem I really have lately is the loss of pragmatism, because no one knows how to do anything anymore either.
Because it's all CGI.
No,
that's
kind of what our
company
is based on.
I mean, like, let's say there's a problem in your house. If you hand somebody a toolbox and say, fix that problem, they're lost. They look in that toolbox and they go, what is this thing?
People have to look up on WikiHow how to use a screwdriver.
Yeah, I mean, it's a screwdriver. It's a hammer. It's not that difficult to figure out. But nobody knows how to do that stuff anymore. Seriously, you hand some kid these days a hammer and say, you know, build something. Or, well, not build something, but, you know, just, like, fix a hole in the wall. Just something simple.
I have a
leaky
pipe. Obviously, I have to call Mr. Plumber and pay $200 to have it fixed.
Yeah, there's that loss of pragmatism where, like, nobody knows how to do anything anymore. Right. And then there's people like me who are like, oh, well, my car's not working. I'll go out and hit it with a hammer and fiddle with it. And
no, the big one, the sledge.
Yeah. And it's little things like that, and I hate that we've lost that. And I'd like to see that come back, but since we don't have shot glass, anymore, so
I will say this. I bought a motorcycle, and I couldn't get it started because I let it sit for too long over the winter without starting it, and it sits outside. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to replace the spark plug. And I actually had, because I've never done it, no one in my family had ever taught me because no one knew how. And so I had to look up online how to change the spark
plug. But you made the effort to fix
it. But I did it. But
you're
I did change my
you're
own
You're actually plug. An intelligent human being.
But I changed my own spark plugs, and I did some own maintenance on my bike, and I got it started off on myself.
Being intelligent doesn't necessarily mean you have the knowledge. It means you have the ability to find the knowledge.
Yeah, I've got a Virago 920 right now that I'm having the same stuff on. So.
Well, it seems like the music's playing, so that says that's all the time we have for on tonight's episode of Afterburn. I'm Atari.
I'm Drake.
I'm Hammy.
And we'd like to thank our special guest, Goose, for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Goose, for joining us. We'd like to invite you to join us for our next episode of Afterburn, where we'll be talking more about crazy aviation news and entertainment. And good night. Today's episode of Afterburn was brought to you by Natty Ice, when you've absolutely got to get your bros drunk.
Avgas, it comes in colors.
And ValueJet, we'll get you there. Kinda. Liberty!